Go to LiddellAuctionServices.com.
Good morning, Sunshine Country. It is currently 28 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. Dr. Kate Friedhoff with me this morning. Dr. Friedhoff, how are you?
I am not doing too bad today.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you. Nice to be here.
How are you? How's your day going today?
Oh, it's been kind of crazy. We've had some of this lovely stomach bug going through our house.
No. That's not fun.
Yeah, I'm finally getting over it. Now Tim's starting. Not recommended.
Hey, Mabel.
Mabel says she's fine.
Mabel is doing just fine. Look at her. She's up saying hi to everybody
this
morning.
She's like, everybody's been ignoring me because they haven't felt good. I don't know what the deal is. They haven't been running around. And it's been hot.
It has been hot. Let's talk about that for a second, can we? It's not going to be as hot today.
Oh, thank goodness.
And it's going to cool off a little bit. But you know what? It's not even August, so
we
could have more hot weather. What do we need to be thinking about with our pets?
Oh, with our pets, I mean, like with the last couple of days, trying to let them outside as little as possible. You know, and when they are outside, trying to watch and make sure that they're not overdoing it. Like Mabel usually goes and runs zoomies outside when she's at the clinic. Yesterday she went out and she did her business and she came right back.
Too hot.
Because she was like, okay.
Yeah.
She tried to putz around a little bit and then she's like, yeah, you know what? No, it's not worth it. But trying to monitor what they're doing when they're outside, because especially with some of our short-faced dogs, our brachycephalics, like, you know, our bulldogs and pugs and all of those guys, they're going to overheat really fast when it's that hot out. So, keeping them outside is as little as you can, especially during the heat of the day period.
Some dogs will recognize that. Some dogs will not.
Exactly.
And they'll just go until they tip over.
And you got to know which one your dog is. Because, I mean, I've seen other dogs that yesterday I would have turned them out like Mabel and they would have gone taken off like an idiot. And I'm like, it's 117 heat index. What are you doing?
Right.
But, you got to know which dog yours is so that you know if you need to put them on a leash if they usually go out without one, or what you need to do in order to make sure that they don't overdo it.
Shade, fresh water,
lots of water, fan preferably. It was even hard on some of our large animals this weekend. You know, some of our elderly creatures, you know, if they had any kind of underlying issues, I mean, there's a good chance heat like that can exacerbate something already going on that we didn't even necessarily know about.
Yeah.
So kind of just keeping a close eye on everybody. I know we were keeping an eye on my two old horses because it was just like,
they're doing okay.
They did fine.
Good.
They were sweaty, but they were fine.
Yeah. Okay.
They were let out in the pasture so they could go hang out and do whatever they wanted. We just checked on them some and
they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine. Right. They didn't have any underlying issues, thankfully.
Yes.
So,
okay.
That we didn't know about.
Okay. So, watch your pets.
Watch your pets.
I mean, even,
very
you know
carefully.
What? It's going to be cooler today, but it's still hot.
Oh, it is still brutally hot.
Still hot. So.
And, you know, like we talk about, I think every time, cars. Cars are the big thing. Don't even leave them in there for 5 minutes, especially with the heat. Like, we were having, like, if I had Mabel and the little kids with car seats in the car, I left the car running until I had everybody unbuckled and out of it because you'd turn it off and it'd be hot almost instantly.
Yep.
And, yeah, that's something where even if your car, you know, even if you're leaving it running when you come into the store, like, you don't have any wiggle room in those kind of temperatures for if it does turn off. Like, if you get caught talking to somebody or whatever the case may be, that you don't get back out there before it shuts off.
Okay. So, watch your pets.
Watch your pets very carefully.
Fleas, ticks. Where are we at with all that at the moment?
Tis the season.
Yeah. Mosquitoes, pests,
all of those things. I mean, now is like really prime time for them. We've started seeing fleas quite a bit on pets, which we see them year round, but there's certain times of the year where they seem to really kind of surge up and it's been hot and dry and humid and they really seem to like that. I mean, they also seem to like, about anything really. But the ticks are definitely still going. They're usually not quite as heavy as they were in the spring, but they are definitely still around.
Yeah.
Especially if your pet gets loose and goes on an adventure in the woods or the tall grass. So making sure that you've got a good flea tick preventative on hand. And that's one of those that just kind of a reminder that you get what you pay for. If you get the super cheap ones at the, you know, grocery store, then they are not going to cover them near as well as a lot of like the prescription level ones. There are some good over-the-counter ones and you can always kind of call us and get information on that. But the ones that I've had the best luck with have been some of the prescription ones, like the Simparica or the new Bravecto Quantum injection that we've got.
Which is great, by the way.
It is. It is. You know, and it's something that then you don't have to worry about remembering to give it to them. And cost-wise, it's about the same as...
I set myself reminders and I still forget.
Oh, I do too.
I get a buzz. And then I'm like, oh, I'll do that. I don't do it.
What really gets me is if then I do it and forget to cancel out the reminder. And then a couple weeks later, I see it again and go, oh, I'm pretty sure I did that, but the reminder is still there. Did I do it? So once in a while, they get double dosed because I'm just like, oh, I'd rather make sure they had it.
So have you heard of, I'm rambling, Dr. Friedel.
No, you're fine.
Alpha-gal syndrome?
I have heard of it. That's the one that makes you not want to eat red meat or
makes
something.
It makes it like allergic to red meat.
Yes.
So, which would be devastating.
That would be horrible.
Devastating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
oh, I can't imagine.
Make sure that you control the ticks.
Control the ticks because, you know, there's not a lot of products that repel ticks, but there's a lot of products that kill ticks. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're going to be going somewhere where ticks are pretty heavy or you've got a hunting dog or you like to go on hiking, a lot of times we will double up on some of those things where we'll give them like the oral chew and then we'll use like something like the Seresto collar, which does have some repellent activity to it, and do both of them at the same time.
Just to make sure.
Just to be sure, because, nobody wants that alpha-gal syndrome.
No. I know.
I mean, nobody wants Lyme disease or any of those either, but.
I mean, if I couldn't have a ribeye.
Oh, that'd be.
Wouldn't
that'd
be terrible?
A bad deal.
Man. Okay. Ugh. So. I'm going to use my terminology, probably incorrect. You offer, I'm going to say full service, but everything, I mean, you take care of livestock and pets.
Yes.
You have products available. You have an online pharmacy.
Yep.
Grooming is available.
Boarding
is available.
Yep.
End of life services available.
Yes, all of those things.
So people really should check out OakValleyAnimalHealth.com.
Yep.
And find out more information.
Absolutely. And if there's something that you're like, ooh, I wonder if they do that, call and ask. Like, there are some things that we don't do, like orthopedic surgery. There's really not many orthopedic surgeries that we do. I mean,
some of
there
the more
are
specialized
some things
kind of
that we can do. But, more specialized stuff is, kind of beyond our scope.
Yeah.
We try to be good at what we do and not try to dabble in things that we're not very good at.
Because
some of those things, like some of your major orthopedic surgeries, like the ones for like the cruciate ruptures, the ligament ruptures in the dog's knee, stuff like that. It's like, we don't get the opportunity to do them very often. I don't even have the equipment to do them anymore because we just didn't do them frequently enough that we've found it's better off to send them to somebody that does them all the time.
Yes.
So stuff like that, it's like, we're not able to do it, or some of that specialty diagnostic stuff.
Yeah.
That type of thing. But otherwise we try to do as much as we can.
Okay.
Yep.
So, can we talk about yesterday, Dr. Friedhoff?
Sure.
So Bodie, our Australian Shepherd.
Yeah.
Big hairy dog.
Big fuzzy guy.
Big hairy guy. He gets hot.
Yes.
He doesn't like this weather.
I bet he does not.
I want to walk through that appointment.
Yeah.
With you. So we got there. We went through the appointment, which was great, by the way.
Thank you.
We just kind of hung out in the lobby. We went in. What? So when you're looking at like feeling of him.
Yeah.
Listening to heart, and we ended up doing quite a bit of stuff. Tell me what are you looking at when you're doing that?
So when I'm doing a physical exam, I try to start in the same place every time. I usually start at their nose and work towards their tail.
Yeah.
And some of it depends a little bit on why they're there as far as how in-depth some of my exam gets. Like, I don't do necessarily a rectal exam on every dog.
Right.
But because they really don't appreciate it. But, I usually start at their nose and see, do we have any drainage? Do we have anything going on there? Look in their mouth, see what their teeth look like. Make sure there's no obvious, masses or anything we can find.
He had a little plaque.
Yes, he had a little bit of tartar, a little plaque going on.
Yeah.
So, we talked about some options there. And then, look at their eyes, look at their ears, make sure, again, we don't see any redness. We don't see any abnormal drainage in either spot. That there's nothing, like with eyes, that we don't have any cataracts. One doesn't look bigger than the other, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And then I usually go along their body, feeling lymph nodes, kind of start under their chin and go in front of their shoulders, behind their legs, kind of up under their belly, you know, which also checks for any other lumps or bumps and kind of, sometimes those little ones are really hard for me to find because I'm not petting them every day, but, like the big ones I can usually find, or I found some that other people that, you know, the owners hadn't noticed yet, you know, check for hernias kind of as I sweep along the belly. Most of the times we have notes already if they have one or not, but, you know, checking the lymph nodes up on the insides of the legs, checking their pulse on the insides of their hind legs. They've got lymph nodes on the backs of their hind legs that we check.
Okay.
And yeah, just kind of give them a good once over. Look at their skin.
So he's a big woolly dog.
He is a big woolly dog.
So compared to like him, to I'm looking at Mabel. She's more of a like a slick coat. Is it more difficult to, because you literally have to fill.
Yes. Because
you can't see with him.
No, you can't see a darn thing. So yeah, with those guys, there's usually a lot of, like, most people think we're just doing a lot of petting, but, you know, we're usually kind of trying to feel them all over as we're petting. Yeah. And that's part of the reason we're doing a lot of petting. And the dogs usually look at us weird because they're like, why are you petting my belly? And why are you petting the inside of my leg? And so yeah, we're usually trying to feel all over, especially those woolly creatures. And that's how we assess body condition as well in our really furry kids, because it's really tough to tell under all that poofy hair.
He's a little fluffy body condition wise as well,
just
right?
A little bit. Yeah, not too bad,
but a little
he's
bit.
He's a little extra fluffy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's really fluffy, but he's a little extra fluffy. A
little bit, yes. Okay. But yeah, you know, we're usually pushing to see how easy is it to feel the ribs. You know, do we have those fat pads that usually sit in front of their hips? You know, people like to call them love handles. You know, what's our body condition look like? That's part of the reason we're feeling them over too in those fluffy creatures.
Okay, then we did a series. You did shots.
Yes,
talk
we did.
To me what
vaccines.
We did. So what will we do there?
So it all depends on what your pets do for. But usually rabies. I think Bodie, we just did lepto because I think he had a 3-year distemper vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, some kids get the Lyme preventative vaccine, you know, and that all kind of depends on their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Kennel cough, which is a liquid that goes in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Bodie thankfully did really well on
that. He thought it was a treat.
Yeah, that's usually either the
easiest
thing.
That's why he's a little
thing.
Fluffy sometimes.
Well, you know, it's fair.
So, yeah.
It's usually either the easiest part or the hardest part, because some of them are like, nope, absolutely not. I do not like that. We usually do get a couple drops of blood for their heartworm test.
Okay, you did that too.
Yeah, we did that too.
Yeah.
And then Bodie also got the Pro Heart, which is the 1-year heartworm preventative.
Yep.
And he got the Bravecto Quantum, which is the 1-year flea tick preventative.
See, I don't have to
so
remember.
So you don't have to
I'm
remember
done.
A darn thing until he comes in next year and you get your reminder in your email.
Yeah. But it was pretty, I mean, for him, he did pretty well.
He did really well.
The
he was a good
that,
boy. Oh,
the
we clipped his nails, too.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's where I was going.
Yeah.
His nails were pretty impressive.
Yes, that's he did have some good nails. We shot some good pieces off.
I have to say, I was curious because he just doesn't like to have his feet touched.
Yeah.
But you did great with that.
Yeah, he did. And he did really well. And a lot of times when strangers are doing it, it's different than at home.
Yeah.
Because like even my dogs, a lot of times they do better at the clinic than they do at home.
Well, I mean, they were pretty remarkable. But it was great. We were in and out. And it was really.
Yeah.
It was very good. He seems fine.
He was a good boy.
Yeah.
The whole time.
You can't hear him walking on the.
No, he's in stealth mode now, especially with the fur on his feet. He could probably really sneak up on
he can
everybody.
Sneak right up to you. But it was good. And I guess easy enough. Make an appointment. Yeah. Bring your pet in.
Yep. Sometimes, you know, we try to keep on time as much as we can to, you know, sometimes there's emergencies.
Things
that crop up, you know, even with like our drop-off appointments that we do in the morning for those more urgent things.
Yes.
We try to assess them as soon as they get there. Mm-hmm. Like they were already texting me this morning about one that had been dropped off and I had to come here. And they're like, hey, this dog's doing this. Do you want to, you know, what do you want us to start? Do you want us to start blood work or what? Where do we want to go? So, I mean, they're getting assessed right away.
Okay.
When they get there. We don't always get people called right off the bat because sometimes we have emergencies come in or, you know, we've got other more urgent ones that's like, okay, we got to get this going first. And, you know, we don't always get time to call in between things. Yesterday was bonkers.
Yeah. It was one of those days.
It really was. It was nuts. So, I mean, you know, sometimes we don't get you called right away, but we do get pets assessed right away.
Yeah.
So that's something where we, you know, kind of like with a human emergency hospital, that type of thing, we have to triage things.
Right.
So yes, once in a while, appointments run behind or the urgent drop off things. Sometimes you don't get called as fast as you think you should, but you know, do know that we know we're trying, we're going as fast as we can. And sometimes there are things that are just far more serious, far more severe. And
well,
if that was your pet, you'd want them jumped to the front of the line.
You know,
too.
If you're coming in for a routine thing and then someone comes in with a serious-ish situation.
Yes.
I hope that most people are understanding.
Most people are. Sometimes people get a little irritated by it, but then most of the time we can kind of explain and they go, oh,
yeah,
okay.
If that's your pet, you want that same
same treatment. Yeah. So just kind of a little reminder there that, you know, sometimes we're running behind just because things are, you know, we're not moving as fast as we wanted to. Things took a little longer.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's because there was an emergency or something really urgent that came in too.
Okay. So make that appointment.
Yeah. Come see us.
See your pet. Get the shot for your pet. Then you don't have to do anything for a year.
Yeah, then you don't have to worry about them for the full year. Right. And fleas and ticks. Oh, fleas and ticks and heartworms.
Are there vaccines? I mean, rabies we talk about a lot.
Yes. We talk about rabies a lot.
Are there other vaccines for pets?
There
we need to be thinking about
lots of other ones. Like with Bodie yesterday, we got that lepto vaccine. He had the 3-year distemper, which we do offer a 3-year distemper vaccine. It's distemper, parvo, lepto, and it includes a couple of other things that are kind of glommed into that. The distemper, parvo, and lepto vaccine is something that I find very important. Some of those viruses you can get from, well, not all of them are viruses, but anyway, you can get from being in contact with other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it from being in contact with wildlife, especially like the lepto.
Yeah.
And lepto is one that, you know, especially since we started going to the 3-year distemper vaccine.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I'll skip that out. That's not important. Well, especially if you've got a dog that goes outside at all, it really is important because wild animals can bring it into the yard too. Like my dogs, if there's mud puddles around, they like to drink out of them. And lepto is something that's spread by like contaminated water, especially. Like if an infected animal were to urinate in the water, then they can get infected really easily because it's a very contagious thing. Like we've had a couple over the years that were either suspicious or did actually get diagnosed with lepto. We don't see it very often because we do so much vaccinating
for it. What is lepto?
Leptospirosis. And there are a whole bunch of those. They are a type of, let me double check. I don't want to miss.
Sporosis?
Leptospirosis.
Okay.
Let me double check here.
So that is, wow. Okay.
Yes,
well,
it
that's
is.
Why, yeah.
It is a serious bacterial infection. Okay, I was pretty sure it was bacteria, but then I didn't want to misspeak because, you know, sometimes there are other things too. Contaminated water, wet soil where like an animal has urinated before, you know, even after it rains, wildlife urine. And it's a pretty nasty deal too. It can really trash the kidneys is one of the big things, but common warning signs are like fevers, vomiting, you know, sometimes changes in urination, but it's usually signs of like kidney disease is one of the big things.
And if you do have a pet, and when you take your pets out, especially like when I take Bodie out walking in the country, they get in everything.
Oh, they get into everything.
I mean,
heck, even at the clinic, Mabel finds nasty animal poop that she'll go rolling.
Or other things with it. I mean, and get down in the water and drink. I mean, it's just.
Oh, absolutely.
They get in everything.
Yes,
but that's
they
part
do.
Of being a, that's part of the beauty of being a dog. Look at Mabel.
She's like, that's good stuff. It smells really good to me when I go and roll in nasty poop. So
get your vaccinations.
Yes.
So those you recommend. Are there other recommended?
Those are really the really highly recommended ones. Kennel cough vaccine is something that's important, especially if your dog is going to be doing any boarding, which all boarding places should require it.
Yeah.
Any grooming, or if they're going to be going to dog parks, doing dog training, if they're going to be going around a lot of different dogs, I mean, you know, like family members where nobody else goes anywhere else is one thing. But like, especially if you're going to be even just taking them and going for walks through Tractor Supply or Baumgars or something, like, it's a good idea to have them vaccinated because you don't know what the last guy had that walked through.
Are you okay, Mabel?
Belt straight in your face.
That's okay. We're all just friends here, Mabel.
Oh, Mabel.
Yeah.
She's like, what?
She doesn't even care.
No, she doesn't. Problem.
So get your vaccine. Okay.
Yeah, vaccines are good. There's a lot. It's a lot cheaper and a lot easier than trying to treat the disease itself.
Heartworms. Okay, so that's something that you can prevent.
Yes, pretty easily prevented with that monthly mosquitoes are around.
Right?
Yep.
That's the transmission.
Mosquitoes are what transmit it. And it has to go like through a mosquito. They can't get it from another dog. So it's infected mosquitoes that spread it. So they bite the infected dog. They suck up some of those little baby heartworms. Mm-hmm. And then they deposit them in the next dog.
Okay.
And I think they actually have to go, and I can't remember, I gotta look it up. I can't remember for sure. I think they actually go through part of their life cycle in the mosquito, like they mature a little bit.
Okay.
And then, then they infect the next dog that is bit. So that's something that we don't see it around here near as much as they do like in the South, where mm-hmm. they have horrible mosquitoes and stagnant water year round.
Uh-huh. All the time.
All the time.
And it doesn't get not cold enough to really do damage to it. So.
No, but we do see it up here, and it is something that, it's been a few years ago since I did the calculation, and at that time we had HeartGuard, which is the box of just the heartworm mm-hmm. preventative. Mm-hmm. But at that time, I think you could buy, I think it was like 8 years of heartworm prevention for what it costs to treat them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like, it was something crazy. And I think even like with the Simparica Trio and stuff that we have now, like you could probably, do 5 or 6 years worth of preventative.
Right.
In order to treat
it can be fatal, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because heartworms, they can get really, really long. They are literal worms that get into the bloodstream that travel into the heart and lungs. And not only do they cause just a ton of damage, they wreak havoc because, they're just hanging out there in the vessels and they're trying to migrate through the lungs and migrate around in the heart.
Have you ever
seen
one?
They can block up. Oh, yeah. We've actually got a couple of hearts with heartworms in jars from dogs that were euthanized.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of sad to look at, but it's kind of a neat thing to be able to show, too. So if you want to see one, we have one.
Oh, okay.
We have at least one. We might have a couple because I think we had one clear from when Dr. Houston used to own the Red Oak Clinic. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's going way back.
It's pretty old.
That's getting way back there.
Yeah. You don't want to shake the jar because then a bunch of stuff kind of floats around. Uh-huh. But we've got a more recent one, too, from a shelter dog that came in with just a really severe infestation.
If it's that severe, will the treatment harm the dog?
There's a possibility that it can.
Because it would break those things loose,
yes,
right?
Yes, because it would mass kill them and break them loose. So some of those dogs, even like referral is the best option because they actually have to go in and pull some of those heartworms out of there.
Oh, wow.
Because they can cause blockages in the heart as well, even if it's not when you're treating them. Like, they can cause blockages in the heart. They can cause blockages in some of the blood vessels and stuff, too. So the blood just literally can't move through if it's a heavy enough burden.
Wow.
It can be really bad. I think it's Cavell syndrome is what they call it.
Cavell?
Yes. Where, like, in the vena cava, one of the vessels, they just block it enough that blood can't even move through.
And they die.
Yeah. So they can die pretty quickly from that. And usually the first signs that we see of heartworm, if we haven't caught it early on a test, are heart disease signs because it's starting to affect the heart that much. They start coughing pretty heavily. They start acting like they have heart disease because they essentially do because they've got so much damage.
It impacts cats as well.
It does impact cats.
Not
it's different
much.
In cats.
Yeah.
Because it's the same size of heartworm in a little bitty cat. So, one adult heartworm is enough to kill a cat.
Okay.
If they even get to that stage. So cats are a lot tougher because it's harder to diagnose because you have to have adult heartworms typically to like that are causing that reaction in the dog's body to get the antigen to show up on the test, okay, or that are producing the antigen in order to show up on the test. So cats are tough to diagnose.
What about livestock?
No, it's pretty specific. Dogs are the preferred host. Livestock and stuff, it doesn't really happen. There's been really rare instances of it occurring in other species, like even humans.
Well, I was going to ask. That was my next question.
Yeah, because and I'd have to double check, but I remember reading somewhere where it's like there's been a handful of
cases. But
it's
very rare.
It's very, very rare, yeah, though. But, like, it can happen in our wild life as well, like our wild canids, like our coyotes and our foxes. Okay. I mean, they're in the canine family, too. Sure. So that's something where it can, even our wildlife population can harbor them. So even if you don't know any, like, local dogs that have had it, it can still come from mosquitoes that have bitten those guys, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can dogs, okay, man. Random question for you, Dr.
Right.
Fardoff. Thank you for being patient with me. Can dogs get poison ivy?
Not like humans do. Like, I think they can get some skin irritation and stuff from it, but they don't usually get the big spots like we do.
Like I have?
Yes, like you have.
Yeah.
That are miserable.
I have. Okay, so I haven't really talked about this on air, but I will since I brought it up. So a couple weeks ago. So, okay, backstory. All the way back. My whole life, I've never had an issue with poison ivy, ever.
Really?
I mean, I've worked outside my whole life.
Yeah.
Never an issue. Last summer, I got a little spot of poison ivy. This summer, I was doing the same thing that I did last summer, and I ended up at the doc, going to the doctor, which first time in my entire life. And
yeah.
I just took, I mean, this is much improved, if you can believe that. I'm like,
it's ugly, and it gets so red.
Oh, gosh,
angry.
Yeah, no kidding. And so, Stacy Watts at Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics, thank you very much. but that was my question. So
yeah,
can dogs get...
They don't get it like people do. Because I think a lot of it is their fur protects them. And then just something about it, it just doesn't... They don't get it to the extent that people do.
I'm just curious.
Yes.
Because it's fairly... I mean, I have a new respect for that because it is thoroughly uncomfortable.
Oh, it is. I had it as a kid and, I still remember it. So
oh,
I was
gosh.
Pretty young. I probably was like... 8 or 9 or something.
I don't have to deal with that. And then something has changed because, you know, it can't be that I'm getting older, but
no, that's
something
not
has
it.
Changed, but I have to, I mean, it was something. Anyway, that's a random side note.
Yes.
But
yes,
there you go.
But yeah, there are definitely plenty of things that affect humans worse than they affect dogs and affect dogs or cats worse than they do humans or horses or cows or any of that. So, yeah.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Dr. Kate Fridoff with me from Oak Valley Animal Health, oakvalleyanimalhealth.com.
Yes.
Social as well.
Yep.
There's a link there.
We've got stuff on Facebook. I actually have some stuff I need to post on Facebook. I took a picture of some orange kitties the other day, a whole litter of them. And orange females are really rare. There were 6 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Between these multiple litters of kitties. So, yeah, I need to get better about posting on social media again, but we've been so dang busy. It has not been at the top of my mind.
So someone texted in that had a Springer Spaniel that this goes way back to Dr. Houston was treated.
Oh, wow.
And it was very hard on the pet.
It's very hard on them.
But survived, and it was like, I think, $650 way back then.
Oh, yeah.
For the treatment.
It's usually $1,000 or better,
and
depending on the size of the dog, but.
Yeah. Thank
yes.
you, Reggie. Never missed a treatment since.
That's good. That's
so,
good. Because, yeah, you don't want to have to treat it again.
There you go. So,
but, yeah, it
for
can
sharing.
Be really hard on them. They can definitely have some residual effects from that, too.
What are your regular hours?
We are open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. And then we generally have somebody answering the phones 24/7 as much as we can.
Okay.
Unless I'm on an emergency call, sometimes then I don't answer that right away. But I usually try to call back and... If I can leave a message, I will. And I usually do call back from a blocked number because I don't share my cell phone typically.
Right.
So if you get a call back from a blocked number after you've tried to call me, it's probably me.
Answer the call.
Please answer. Yes. It's probably me. Please have your voicemail set up because it's hard when I try to call and nobody answers and I can't leave a voicemail so they know I tried to call.
Yes.
And
okay. So it is vacation season?
It is.
Okay.
So
boarding. Talk to me about that.
We have had some really busy boarding weekends, and we've had some not-so-busy boarding weekends. So if you know you're going to want to be out of town, especially with State Fair coming up,
yeah,
because that is usually those are usually packed weekends. Please make sure you call right away and get your critters on the schedule, especially if you have big dogs that you're going to want to board. We run out of space for them real fast, it seems like. That's usually who boards is the big dogs.
Yeah. You want up here? Come on.
She does. She Come is on. Determined she, to get on your lap
she
today.
She would get in my lap if she could.
That dog, she's 100 pounds, and she thinks she's a lap dog.
You will not fit, Mabel. I'm telling you, you can stay right there.
She's like, I will try.
You will stay right there. It's good. So, but make your reservation.
Yes, make your reservations. As soon as you know when you're going to be gone, let us know. That way, because we hate turning people down.
Yeah.
And please, if you're not going to be able to come, please let us know.
Oh, because someone may want that spot.
Somebody might want that spot. Please don't just not show up.
Yeah.
We do kind of on a limited basis offer some after hours pickup or drop off. Depends on Ashley's availability because she's the one that usually handles it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something where there is an extra charge. But if you need something like that, do let us know because that's something we might be able to arrange.
You do cats?
We do. We do. Okay. We've got 6 cat kennels.
Okay.
They're cat condos.
Okay.
Because they have a couple little cubbies in there. They've got these neat little squares where they've got a little perch they can get up on. Then they've got a little cubby that they can get into. To hide and do that kind of thing. So, and then if there's not very many cats there, we'll usually open up a couple condos so they get a couple of areas.
But reach out and contact. So
absolutely,
if you're going somewhere, you could even make that reservation well in advance too.
Absolutely, like if you know you're going to be gone for Christmas or New Year's, let us know. Yeah. We can go ahead and get that on the schedule.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Online pharmacy.
Online
Tell me
store,
about that.
Yes. So we have got an online store. If you go to our website or our Facebook, we've actually got links. Where does it say? It says online pharmacy clear up on at the top of the page on the right side.
Yep.
And it takes you right to our online store. And there is all kinds of stuff on there. You could order food, you can order your most prescription medications. You could set up auto ship on a lot of those things. I think there's free auto ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free shipping with, I can't remember what the amount is. But, I mean, you could shop stuff for your pets, your horses, your livestock. We can carry a lot more on there and a lot more options than we can in store.
Sure.
And it comes from the same distributor that we get stuff from. It comes straight from the same place. So it's one of those that you don't have to worry about getting a counterfeit product because there are lots of counterfeit products going around, even from some of those great big online pharmacies that you hear about all the time. So especially with the flea tick things.
Yeah.
And we try to stay as competitively priced as we can with those big stores so that you could still buy local and know that you're getting the product that you're ordering.
Tim has even helped people with this.
Helps people with that quite a lot. Like, and we can even, and Tim usually is the one that does it. He can get on the online store for you and set up your account.
Let's volunteer.
And even order
Let's
for you.
Let's volunteer him some to do some stuff.
He
I saw him there
He
yesterday.
Does not mind doing that stuff at all.
I saw him. He was there in the clinic.
He actually was. That doesn't happen super often,
I mean,
but
I took a photo just to make sure that I was...
Just to prove that he was there.
So, but if you want to do that, but maybe you're just, for whatever reason, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Some people aren't super comfortable online.
Absolutely. Just let us know. We're more than happy to help.
Yeah.
And we've had really good luck with it. It's pretty quick shipping. And when you get online and order, like we get on there, maybe not every single day, but we try to get on every other day and approve orders. So, I mean, there's no worries of lost emails or lost faxes or lost anything else. It comes straight to us. We get on there and approve stuff. Or if there's some reason we can't approve it, we get back to you right away on there.
Yeah. Okay.
And let you know what we need to do to be able to approve it.
Okay. Talk to me about your care packages, because this is a great option for people sometimes.
Yes.
So just for, just what it says, routine care.
It's for
both.
Routine care.
You have it for
we've got
for cats and dogs.
We've got cat and dog. They're the same one. And we just tailor it to whatever your creature needs. So it covers most vaccines. It covers, I think, up to 6 vaccines, if I remember correctly. Which
would that be, Dr. Friedhoff?
Should be up a little bit more, kind of under the starter package. There you go.
Right there?
Down just a little bit.
Okay. There we go.
Yes, yeah, $39 a month, two routine exams. So one every 6 months, or if you need to bring them in for another exam at some point, you know, and it covers two for the year.
Yeah.
Up to six vaccines, which it's six because that covers a lot of the puppies.
Yeah.
Because the puppies and kittens are the ones that, you know, end up starting this a lot of times. Includes the microchip, which we actually just spayed a dog yesterday. So I was like, oh, why is the microchip zeroed out? It's because she was on this, the wellness package. It includes the annual wellness screening, which is a test that we send off. It includes blood work. It includes urine. Urinalysis, fecal exam, heartworm test, or leukemia FIV test for cats. That is something for that package that it's the one we have to send off, though, because in order to keep the package at the cost that it is, we have to do the big one that we send off.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that, you know, we can schedule at any time, like especially those puppies and kittens. We can always schedule it before they're supposed to get spayed so that we have results back or however we need to do that. But, yeah, it includes all the routine stuff that they would need for the year. I think I even said it includes four nail trims.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, coming in like once a quarter and getting toenails done.
And that's, I mean, that's, like you say, a good base level of
it is.
Care for your pet.
Yep,
your
it's a good base
good.
Level. And then there's so. Other stuff that you can add on as well. Like if you want a basic, if you know your pet's going to be coming up for some dental work, for $12 a month, it covers a year grade one dental, which, you know, if your pet needs more than that, then whatever charge that would be on top of it. But that at least gets you started mm-hmm. with that as far as being able to kind of have some of it on a monthly thing. And that only includes the procedure. It doesn't include the anesthesia because that can be so variable between our patients.
Yeah.
But there's one for a parasite protection program. There's the premium, which has like even a percentage off of pet food and emergency fees, parasite protection, annual grade one dental and nail trims as needed, which that could get kind of crazy.
Right.
There's a senior one that includes some additional things. There's even an end of life planning one. So all of those, except for the end of life planning one, you have to already be on the basic one. But for the end of life one, you don't have to have the standard plan. You can do that standalone. And that's something where even if you're like, oh, probably sometime in the next couple of years, like if you wanted to go ahead and do that, it's $25 a month for 1 year.
Yep.
It covers the euthanasia and a private cremation. And it can be purchased, like I said, as a standalone plan. And once it's fully paid, the credit remains on your account. That one doesn't go away after a year. So that's something where if you think that's coming up the next 2, 3, 4 years, mm-hmm. you can even go ahead and prepay that if you want.
It's part of owning a pet.
It
We've
is,
talked about that. And
yes.
And it is coming up.
It is, unfortunately.
Just depending on, well, with all of us, actually.
On, yeah, with everything. Everything that's yes, alive yes. will someday have to deal with that.
So there you go.
So, it's nice to plan ahead on some of those things so then it's not like this big, like, oh, no, I've
right.
got this big cost
right.
all at once, especially if you know you're going to want to do like a cremation.
Yep. Okay. All right, Dr. Frydoff, Dr. Kate Frydoff with me. What else do we need to touch on?
Oh, man. I think we've touched on
Ashley,
a lot of
is
things.
Is Ashley at the office today?
As far as I know,
okay.
she's there.
All right.
Yeah.
Keeping things in order there.
We've got Ashley keeping things in line at the front desk.
Yeah.
She keeps us all in line.
Who else do you have, Dr. Frydoff?
We have got two licensed veterinary technicians.
Yeah.
We've got Jen Bush and Rose Nippert, and they are both fantastic.
Jen was with us yesterday.
Yes, she was.
She assisted. Yes.
Yep.
With some of the more strenuous things.
Yes. So, she did some good brain massages on Bodhi to keep
did.
Him distracted.
She did.
She's an expert brain massager.
Yes.
Distractor.
Yes.
We've got Adriana, who is right now, just from a legal standpoint, she has to function as an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
She is working on getting her veterinary boards done so that she can become licensed in the United States.
Oh, very cool.
So hopefully we'll have another veterinarian here relatively soon. But then we've got Dr. Krista Davies, who is with us part-time as a veterinarian. She has worked at this practice far longer than I have, been a veterinarian longer than I have. So she is fantastic as well. And then Victoria has her grooming out mm-hmm. of the vet clinic. It's technically a separate business, but she is there.
She's there.
Sure. At the clinic, right up in that front grooming room.
You'll see her.
Then we've got Davey doing our kennel chores and taking care of all the boarding creatures. He is fantastic. He loves those silly animals.
Yeah.
And it is wonderful. I have no concerns when I leave mine there, because if any little thing is happening with them, Dave is going to tell me about it. We had a kitty that he was worried about being stressed out over the weekend. So he's like, I think this cat might need some anxiety meds. So I was able to know and go in there and check on it and actually put a camera on it. And it turned out she was just being a psycho and playing with her boarding tag. He thought he was worried that she was anxious, which I was very glad that he let me know, because I wouldn't want her to be anxious all weekend.
You like the attention to detail with that.
Yes, so. I do.
You bet.
But yeah, so we've got a really good crew out there. And then we've got Danielle, who comes out and cleans and helps us keep everything spick and span three times a week.
Yeah.
So, and then Tim, of course.
Tim's there. I have a photo.
Yes, you have a photo.
So
yes.
I can prove it.
He does work there. He does a lot of the behind the scenes things. So you don't necessarily see Tim very often.
There you go. All right.
But he helps keep it running.
It's very important, those things that happen.
He's
so.
Like, products show up, everybody gets paid, and you don't have to see
me. Right. That's right. You know, that's those jobs that whenever you don't notice it, that means it's going.
That means it's working.
It's working well.
Yes.
When you do notice it.
Yes. Then you're like, oh what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dr. Friedel, what else do we need to touch
on? Oh, man, I think we've touched on all the things that I can think of.
All right. Make your appointment. Take your pet in.
Take your pet in. Get them vaccinated. Preventative's way cheaper than treatment on very many things, even though it seems like some of those things are kind of pricey. It's a heck of a lot cheaper than having to treat them for the disease.
Yes.
And parvo is a great big one that is a huge one that people are usually like, well, I can't afford the vaccines. Yeah. Well, but can you afford to treat parvo if they get it?
Probably not.
So,
and keep them cool.
Keep them cool.
Yeah.
Keep them cool. Stay cool. You too.
Thanks, Dr. Friedel.
All
pleasure.
Right.
Make it a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Dr. Kate Friedel with, and Mabel with me this morning as well from Oak Valley Animal Health.
KCSI-FM, Valeska, Red Oak, and Atlantic. KOAK-AM, Red Oak, Glenwood, and Shannon.